It's time for our weekly look at Congress. Congress returns to Washington next week after its month-long August recess, and tension over the president's inclusion of Congress in policy decisions remains high. The Obama administration announced yesterday it will pursue an international climate change accord that wouldn't need to be ratified by Congress, and executive action on immigration is expected this week. The president has also not committed to whether or not he would ask Congress for permission to strike the Islamist group ISIS in Syria. On a different note, yesterday Burger King announced it will acquire Canadian chain Tim Hortons and move its headquarters north in what's known as a tax inversion. Legislators on both sides of the aisle have responded, condemning Burger King and U.S. corporate tax laws. Our weekly commentator on Congress, Paul Singer, is out this week, and Susan Davis, chief congressional reporter at USA Today, is here with us. Susan, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
So there were a lot of comments yesterday from both the president and legislature about Burger King's plan to acquire Tim Hortons in favor of lower corporate taxes. Can you give us the inside scoop here on how Congress is dealing with the reality of a trademark American brand heading north to Canada?
Well, this is an issue that has really percolated in the past month or so. We saw it earlier this summer when Chicago-based Walgreens for also considered a tax inversion and ultimately changed track. There's agreement in Congress that they don't like this process of American companies going overseas. We've seen about 47 companies over the past 10 years make this decision. What there is not agreement on is how you fix it. I think Democrats more want to take more decisive action in the short term to narrowly address this, what we call tax inversion that these companies are doing. But Republicans say you cannot change the corporate tax code bit by bit, and that the only way to really address this problem is to do a really comprehensive overhaul of the federal tax code, which has gotten very complicated. I don't think there's any disagreement on that. But the prospect of doing that now in September, 8 to 10 weeks before an election is almost inconceivable.
Now, the president himself has had a few words about this, indicating that Burger King is not essentially being patriotic. Are comments like that going to make any difference here?
I don't know if they're going to make any difference from a policy standpoint, but I do think that this is something that, because we are in an election year, and I do think that in some ways I think Democrats see that this may help them make an argument for their side of the tax argument, that the tax code, that businesses are manipulating the tax code to protect their own profits, not to protect American workers, and that they've really tried to hammer this sort of middle-class message. I think in a lot of ways, Democrats assault to try and spark a little bit of a populist anger in the electorate. I think they've had, varying degrees of success on that, on issues like the minimum wage, equal pay for women, things that I think resonate on a worker level. I don't know if it's going to be effective, but I think that hearing it from the president, we've heard it a lot from top Democrats in the Senate. Richard Durbin, who's the number two Democrat in the Senate, this has been a huge issue for him. And he's really tried to draw a lot of attention to it, because I think it's something that average Americans just have a pretty visceral reaction to, is these sort of iconic companies. I think Burger King probably falls into that, that are so closely aligned with American, capitalism heading overseas. People just don't like it. They have a very visceral dislike of that practice.
And so you're talking about here what would be required would be a major overhaul of the tax code. And you've got Democrats on one side and way over on the other side Republicans, and their ideas don't have a lot of overlap. So how likely are we to see any corporate tax reform?
I think at the earliest you'd ever see real effort is next year in 2015. A couple of interesting things. Paul Ryan, who is currently the budget chairman, is very likely going to be the next head of the Ways and Means Committee in the House. And that is the committee that has jurisdiction over the tax code. He has made very clear that he wants to try and pass comprehensive tax reform. I think a lot of what happens and how likely that is what's going to happen in the Senate. If the Senate flips and is taken and Republicans take control, I think you could make a case that there might actually be an ability for a Republican-controlled Congress to reach a deal with Barack Obama on this. In some ways, there's already been common ground. For instance, the president has said in the context of tax reform that he could support a lower corporate tax rate, which is a pretty common accepted view among Republicans. So I think that it is not inconceivable that something could get done, but I think if Congress remains divided, it's much harder for a divided Congress to find agreement on what the tax code should look like than perhaps a unified Congress against a president of the opposing party.
And moving on to our next issue, looking at the president, he's taking quite a bit of action on his own on different fronts. And one of these is climate change. He's working on a new accord that would not require the approval of Congress. How would that work?
You know, I've seen this right now, and I'm very skeptical about how much teeth something like this could have. It does also raise some element of what I think Senate Republicans in particular would say are some constitutional questions about how far can the president go to agree to what appears to be a treaty without having two-thirds of the Senate ratifying it. What we do know is that there is not a two-thirds vote in the Senate right now to ratify any sort of global climate or pollution treaties that we would engage with in other countries. That's just not there. I think, and this is one of those situations where the devil's in the details, I do not know how far the president can go to committing the U.S. to reduce population without either an act of Congress or a treaty ratified by Congress. I think it raises a lot of the separation of powers issues that we've seen already this year in terms of the executive orders that he's issued and the pushback he's seen there. House Speaker John Boehner is already moving forward with a lawsuit from the House's perspective against the administration on what they say is an overreach of power. But I think it is, from the Democratic standpoint, I think it's, and even from the White House standpoint, is he has very much faced an inactive Congress. This Congress that is going to end at the end of this year has been perhaps one of the most, if not the most, unproductive in the post-World War II era. So the president has said time and time again, if Congress is not going to act, I'm going to use every tool in my toolbox to move forward on the policies that I want to see advanced. Now, this is a really curious, and I'm not sure, it's certainly not in his presidency, there's a precedent for it. So I think one, announcing this, that he was going to do this, is part of the message that he sent, that where Congress is inactive, he will act. I just think there is still a lot of unanswered questions about how impactful and how meaningful any action he could take as a standalone measure on that issue.
Well, I think it's being billed as sort of an amendment to an old accord rather than something that's new. Is that approach, do you think, going to give it a little more leverage?
It's possible, but I do think it sort of raises a lot of legal questions. I'm not sure what the president can unilaterally agree to if it comes to things like curbing carbon emissions or certain proposals of what they want to see in it. I seem certain that he'll probably move forward with that if they're saying that's what they're going to do. I can't imagine that he can do this without also provoking a lot of blowback on it and having legal issues raised. I'm sure that the White House believes that they're on solid footing doing this, but in some ways, I think it's perhaps more about message and politics than it is about policy and really trying to solve the question of climate change.
Now, speaking of the president acting alone, another area where he appears to be doing this is immigration. He's got some new executive order on the table about legal immigration. What are mm-hmm. we seeing there?
Well, the White House has been sort of dancing around this. They've acknowledged that the president, particularly, again, in the face of inaction from Congress, is going to look and is considering an executive order that would essentially slow the deportation of 6 to 7 million undocumented in the U.S. We have not seen any specifics on this proposal. The White House, the president himself has not acknowledged anything that he's going to do, but White House staff and senior aides have hinted that this is one of the things in the orbit of consideration. If the president does it, if the White House moves forward on that, it will be really fascinating to see the impact it has on the political debate in the closing weeks of the midterm elections. We're about 8 to 10 weeks out from the midterms, and I think that immigration, as of right now, has not really been a defining issue in most of the contested 2014 races. We've seen a little bit in Colorado, certainly in some races in California, but it has not been a real driver of this election as maybe I think a lot of people thought in the beginning of the election cycle. So to take that kind of unilateral action that I think from opponents would certainly would describe any action that went that far as something what they would call amnesty, although I think it would face a lot, it would also enjoy a lot of support from Democrats, and particularly in the Hispanic community, who have really been pushing the president to take stronger action, to send a much stronger message. What I just don't know is what the reverb effect will be if he does take that dramatic of a step. That said, he could not go that far. It seems like this is still something the White House is looking at. They don't know how far they're going to go, but they have said that if they're going to make an announcement, it's probably going to be within the next couple of weeks.
All right. Susan, thank you so much for joining us. Appreciate your time.
Thanks for having me.
That was Susan Davis, chief congressional reporter at USA Today.